I mean, he's got the opportunity of a lifetime. He's already met the Lord. He already saw what the Lord can do. But now on this day, the Lord invites him to walk with him by asking them to follow him. And sometimes we will accept. If we accept that invitation to walk with the Lord, we no doubt will experience, as we have, many great moments that we could never imagine. I'm sure all of us have some testimony of things that God has done in our life since we've been walking with him, since the day of our salvation. We've seen the Lord do great and mighty things in our life. We've learned some lessons along life's road as we've been walking with the Lord. One thing I want to remind us of, the Lord has created us to no doubt walk with him and to have a relationship with him, but we should never forget, and we did talk about this through the course of talking about prayer, is the fact that we all have been created to worship God. Revelation 4:11 in your notes says, "Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for thou hast created all things, and for thy pleasure they are and were created." The first thing that we want to remind ourselves is that God's created us to worship him, and he has also created us to glorify him through our life. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31 reminds us, "Whether therefore ye eat or drink or whatsoever ye do, do all to the glory of God." As Paul writes to the church of Corinth, he just reminds them, he uses this, the simplicity of life. Whether you're drinking, whether you're eating, those are the basic things in life. Those are the things we do every day, drink and eat, that we should be doing it to the glory of God. And how can we do it to the glory of God? Thanking the Lord for having something to drink, thanking the Lord for having something to eat. And as he goes on to tell them, whatsoever you do, because it is a lifelong journey with our Savior. Our Savior is guiding us and wants to guide us until the day that we cross over spiritually the Jordan River into the promised land, into heaven itself, to be with the Lord. But beyond the greater overall purpose of our lives, God calls each of us individually to serve him. The Word of God teaches that God has a calling for the life of every single believer. From Adam and Eve in Genesis to the Apostle John in Revelation, we see over and over God dealing with individuals. And Romans 11:29 tells us, "For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance." God wants to and will do a great work in a believer's life because God desires. The wonderful thing is God desires to walk with us. You think about Jesus Christ. I mean, not only did he do it with Peter, but he did it with others. He did it with Matthew the publican. He walked by and say, "Follow me." I mean, somebody who was looked down upon by, you know, his fellow man because of his occupation, being a publican. He was hated, just like Zacchaeus was hated because he was a publican. Yet Jesus, those are the ones that Jesus loves. He loves the outcasts. He loves the ones that society hates. And we do. We live in a world that as a whole hates Christianity, but the Lord loves those and wants to walk with those that will follow him by faith. And not only follow him, but allow the Lord to teach them life lessons and to teach them the greatness and the goodness of the Lord. So the first thing I want us to think about is just Peter's calling in life. Because you look at verse 19, Jesus says, "Follow me." So again, we all have that calling of following. Do you remember the day that God moved upon your heart in the way that he did and you put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ? For some, everyone has a different experience with that. And what I mean by experience, it's not some, you know, rushing wind that comes by and blows your hair and you're like, "Oh, I'm saved." But for me, when I called upon the name of the Lord, it was after my wife lovingly told me, "You're going to hell. I love you. Good night." And Josiah left me with that. Now, I was someone who knew about heaven, knew about hell. I went to church as a little boy. I walked away from it as a teenager. But the Lord used those words to get my attention that night. And again, I remember just laying there thinking about it, knowing, well, I don't want to go to hell. And even having this argument in my head, well, you know, pray tomorrow. You're tired. Go to sleep. But then there was a stronger, louder, I say louder voice, but a more compelling voice that said, no, now is the time. Don't wait. Don't put it off. And I remember just confessing to the Lord at that moment that I was a sinner and I didn't want to go to hell. And I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins and some other words. And I just remember just because I was by faith putting asking Christ to be my Savior and come in my life, I just remember really an overwhelming peace just come over me that I had never experienced before. Now, I've talked to other people that say, well, I didn't have that experience, but they had a different experience where they just knew they were saved because it's by faith, you know. It's the wonderful thing about salvation is you don't necessarily have to list everything you did wrong to the Lord. He already knows that. You don't necessarily have to, ask the Lord to come into your heart. Now, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What does that mean? I mean, you think about the thief hanging on the cross. He just said, Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom. The Lord knew in his heart that he was trusting in him, because just prior he was cursing at Jesus too, like everybody else, but something changed. His heart was changed. And he looked at the Lord because, you know, he's dying on the cross, and he just said, Lord, remember me. And he heard those wonderful words, today you'll be with me in paradise. Because it's not about the words. And I know I've known of people who have struggled. I don't know if I said the right thing, and I don't know if the Lord really, you know, forgives me because I didn't say, you know, certain words. And, you know, that's the wonderful thing about salvation. It's not about the words, it's about the heart. But it is truly confessing that I know Jesus Christ, like the Ethiopian eunuch when he said, what doth hinder me to be baptized? And Philip says, if thou believest, he goes, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. That's all he said. He didn't confess all his sins. He just said, I believe Jesus is the Son of God. And obviously, Philip said, well, you can be baptized because you're trusting in Jesus Christ. All right? But after that, after salvation, the Lord does want us to walk with him. And there never comes a day in our life, no matter how long you've been saved, all right? I know in the world, sometimes there is a retirement age that people work for, you know, 65, and, you know, people, I'm 65, retire, and I'll go to Florida, get a house, and I'll get a second house in Arizona, and, you know, all these things people do for retirement. But as a child of God, walking with the Lord, there's not a retirement age. We're not saved for 50 years, and okay, now we can just take it easy. It's a walk, it's a calling, because the Lord wants us to daily walk with him. So again, in verse 19, Jesus says, follow me. Now, no Christian obviously is saved to just sit and do nothing. In fact, from the moment of salvation, we are saved to serve. And you see that in the life of Peter, where the Lord taught Peter how to serve the Lord by serving others and even serving his own fellow brothers and sisters in Christ. Jesus continually calling his followers to do certain things. Jesus calls us to love, to give, and to be a witness. Each of us is responsible both to hear and to heed the call of Christ in our life. But sadly, unfortunately, many people who would say they are Christians in reality do not want to hear the call of Christ. Jesus said, however, my sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Isn't it a wonderful thing? I mean, I could just stay on this topic for a long time, the fact that when Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice and they know me. And the fact that the Lord knows his own. My sheep hear my voice and I know them and they follow me. Again, I've said it before, sometimes I would like to hear the audible voice of God, like Moses did, like Abraham did. But it's a wonderful thing to hear the voice of God, though, in your heart. Like, you know he's speaking to you. You know you're sitting in his presence. Again, there's been times where I have gone to church with a heavy heart, with nobody there, come up to the altar, and just started crying. Just because I was so heavy-hearted about things in life and seeking God's guidance and just started reading scripture and could just honestly feel the presence of God, just the comfort of God. And God would just bring to my mind scriptures that would give me the direction that I need, give me the wisdom that I need. Again, when you do have a relationship like that with the Lord, and again, you know, it's different for everybody. Because you think about your relationship with my wife is different than my relationship with my wife. When I hear, and this has always bothered me, when I hear preachers even say, and other people that are trying to be, I don't know, super spiritual or something, and they say, well, you know, God has a nickname for me, stupid. And I've heard preachers preach this way, and God will speak to me and say, hey, stupid. I'm like, I just don't see that. I don't see that in scripture where God, you know, calls you derogatory names. Now, the Bible does say at times God will chastise us if we do something against his will, but, you know, but to sit there and call his children names, I just don't see that. For some, it may be good preaching to them, but to me, I've always had a problem with it because God's given us his Holy Spirit to comfort us. You know what? And if we do, you know, we're walking with the Lord, we're still human, all right? Sometimes we get off on what we would call rabbit trails. You know, here's the main trail Jesus is walking, but there's things that get our attention, and we're like, well, maybe this will be right. Maybe this will be, you know, okay to do. And then, you know, the Lord kind of comes and finds us and says, hey, don't do that. Come with me. Follow me. Because think about Scripture. Don't you love the fact that Scripture is true? How did Jesus address Peter after Peter denied him three times? When Jesus came to the Sea of Galilee, Peter's out there, he's been fishing all night, didn't catch any fish. And the Lord comes, he's got a fire going, he's got some fish for them to eat. Right? He tells them, you know, cast your net on the other side. They do, and they catch this great draft of fish, and they're all like, it's the Lord. And Peter jumps in and swims to shore. Not once in that account do you see Jesus calling Peter stupid or calling him any derogatory name. The judge of all the earth who always does right did not address Peter in any degrading way. He simply said, Peter, do you love me? He addressed his issue by, do you love me? And once Peter got a little convicted in his heart and was like, and the Bible says he was grieved because the Lord asked him the third time, do you love me? And Peter says, Lord, you know I love you. All right. The Lord never asked him for an apology because the Lord knows man's heart. The Lord knows that Peter was grieving over what he did. He was sorry for it. And he said three times, Lord, you know I love you. And we make mistakes. And what did the Lord say to Peter after that third time of, do you love me? He said, follow me. I called you to follow me, so continue following me. It's a wonderful, I mean, Jesus is the pinnacle of love and forgiveness. The fact is that when Jesus comes to make things right, he's called us to follow him, and when we do, and sometimes we do, get off track, he comes, he finds us, and says, look, follow me. I love that. I love the fact that Jesus has that type of relationship with us because he's called us to walk with him. Now, responding to the call, however, is up to us. It's always up to us whether we follow the Lord. And again, this calling And this following is an everyday occurrence. Now, he's called us to follow him, but every day it's a choice to, okay, are we gonna walk with the Lord today? We're gonna rely upon the Lord. Are we gonna follow the Lord's leading in our life? Because notice in your notes in James chapter 1, it says in verse 22, but be ye doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself and goeth his way and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Again, the calling is there, but we always have to choose if we're going to follow. And again, every day is different. Your calling is different than mine, but at the same time, it's the same calling, and that calling is follow the Lord, but it's in a different way. Mine is, you know, for me, follow the Lord in how I'm supposed to minister to people, how I'm supposed to run the Lord's church, because it's not my church, and so forth. Peter obviously got a little off track, thinking he was done, he messed up, the Lord probably doesn't want to see me, doesn't want to talk to me, the Lord probably definitely doesn't want me to have anything to do with his church because I've messed up. And obviously the Lord came and showed him, no, I'm not done with you, I love you, I still have things for you to do, so follow me, all right? And Peter had to choose at that moment. Listen, at the moment that the Lord is confronting Peter with his love, do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me? Okay, follow me. Peter had to make a choice. I'm either going to trust the author and finisher of my faith and follow him, or I'm going to just continue wallowing in my mistake. So he had to make a choice of, you know what, leaving behind what he messed up and following the one who is telling him, follow me. Everything's okay. Follow me. Keep on track. So that is being a doer of the word and not just a hearer, not just hearing what God is saying, but actually following the Lord. Now, when you think about the person of the call, verse 18, Jesus. Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brethren, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. All right? So the person of the call, everywhere we turn, there are calls upon our life. Some people are drawn away by the loud, instant calls of fame and fortune. Others are tempted by the pull of popularity, comfort, or knowledge. In 1 Corinthians 14:10, the Apostle Paul explains, there are, it may be, so many kinds of voices in the world. And there are many voices in the world that call at us. But the call of the Lord Jesus Christ on our life is a preeminent importance because he is God. The same God who calls us specifically called Peter in Matthew 4. And he saith unto them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Peter could accept this call with confidence because it was Christ who issued it. Just like Peter, we can trust the Lord's call because it will always lead us in what is best for our lives. And that's one thing that we try to get the young people and even the children in Sunday school, junior church, kid venture, the teenagers, the young people understand that the call in God's life, it's permanent. It is a call that you always want to respond to because the Lord is that faithful friend that sticks closer than a brother. We know that he's always there for us. And honestly, when you think about it, again, like I said, each of our callings is different. You know what? Just using my wife for an example, she has a calling on her life, and that is to be a mother. When our first son was born, she had all intentions on going back to her work. She enjoyed the place she worked at, and she had all intentions on going back until after she looked into that baby's face. And the Lord moved upon her heart that she needed to stay home with him. And it was a tough decision, but at the same time, it was not a tough decision because her heart yearned to take care of that baby. And not knowing, you know, how we would make it, we had two vehicles. That means I would only be working one job, and we would have to rely upon my paycheck and all of that. But we talked about it, and we knew, you know what? If that's what God wants, then God will take care of it. And just the day that she went and talked to her boss and said, you know what, I'm not coming back, you know, they tried. They tried to get her to come back. They tried to get her a pay raise and all this stuff, and nope, I can't. I got to stay home with this baby. And she got home after putting in her resignation, and she said she fell on the floor just begging God just to take care of everything because, I mean, it was like, okay, I quit. Now it's just my husband's paycheck. And it wasn't too long later that we got a phone call. I had had a newspaper advertisement to try to sell my truck. And it was a truck I liked, truck I loved. And but I said, you know what? I will sell my truck so you can stay home. And we hadn't had anybody call on it. And until that day when she quit her job and came home, it was a couple hours later that someone called, hey, I haven't seen it in the paper, but do you still have that truck for sale? And the guy came and he drove it and he bought it. What I'm saying is that when God has a calling in your life, and again, she has other callings. She ministers to ladies and stuff. She does things, you know, in the church. But what I'm saying is we all have different callings. My calling is in the ministry, but I'm also called to be a father, right? Called to be a husband. You have a calling in your life. But there are times where, you know what? God does want you to do something in the church for people. It might be somebody else God wants you to serve. And God will help you to do that. God will provide the ability to do what he wants you to do, but we have to surrender by faith like Peter, but I've messed up. You think about Moses. Moses, you know what? He had a speech impediment because he told the Lord, I stutter. Now, he wasn't just coming up with, you know, false excuses. He had a speech problem, but the Lord said, who made your mouth? The Lord was still going to use him. God had a calling on his life. In Jeremiah 29, verse 11, it says, for I know the thoughts I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. God always has good thoughts towards his children because he wants to use them. 2 Corinthians 5:15, and that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Again, the Lord does have a purpose. There is a beginning to our discipleship, following the Lord, and it is him calling us. Now, they give an illustration here, and there was a five-year-old boy by the name of Gavin. Finally, he realized that when his father came home and called him, it usually meant that there was something for him to do. One day, as father returned from work, as he called for Gavin, he heard a loud buzzing noise coming from the next room. He called again, but the noise intensified. Leaving his chair to investigate, he found his son on the floor with his hands covering his ears, making the buzzing noise, right? I can't hear you, right? What are you doing, he asked. I can't hear you, replied Gavin. Are we like Gavin? How many times is God calling us, but because we're covering our ears and making noises, we cannot hear his call? Now, I don't know. I would do this sometimes with my sister. My sister, who's 3 years older than me, and, you know, mom and dad's not around. You know, the older siblings always want to act like they're the parent. They're the one in charge. You got to listen to me. You got to obey me. And sometimes the younger siblings, like I would do, I would put my fingers and la, 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 I can't hear you, right? Now, what he's saying is sometimes we don't want to do that with God. When God is speaking to our heart, you know, we want to make sure that we always respond because there is a purpose of the call. Again, notice in verse 19, Jesus says, follow me. And the reason why he wants them to follow is he says, I will make you fishers of men. There's something the Lord wanted to do in their life. And to the Lord Jesus, the purpose of his own life on earth was always clear. For the Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. That has always been the Lord's purpose for coming and his purpose for making fishers of men out of Peter and the rest of them. When Jesus called Peter, he gave him a new purpose. No longer was he fishing for the fish in the sea, but he was fishing for men. The purpose for the call on Peter's life was simply for him to bring people to the Savior. Every believer today has this same identical purpose. Notice in John 15, 16, you have not chosen me, but I have chosen you and ordained you that ye should go and bring forth fruit and that your fruit should remain, that whatsoever ye shall ask of the Father in my name, he may give it you. Now, let me just say right here, we all have that calling in our life to try to bring somebody else to the Lord, and it starts where you're at. It starts in your own home. You know, your kids, grandkids, you know, spouse, whoever, you know, obviously in your family. And then it goes out from there, all right? Because when you look in Scripture, Philip, he went and got Peter. Andrew went and got Peter. Philip went and got Nathaniel, brought them to the Lord. So it started there, and then they kind of worked their way out, all right? So as a Christian parent, grandparent, we do have that calling in our life that we want to help our children and our grandchildren to come to know Jesus Christ, all right? Before Jesus ascended into heaven, he specifically left instructions for his followers to spread the gospel throughout the world. Matthew 28, right there in your notes, Jesus came, spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, not only was Peter's purpose to bring people to the Savior, but it was also for him to live with eternity's values in view. A sad thing that we read in Scripture that Paul had to make note of was he had a companion by the name of Demas. Demas was a follower of Christ. He was a companion of Paul. He traveled with Paul for some time, helping Paul in the ministry, but Paul even talked highly of Demas at one point, but later on he had to write in a letter saying that Demas had forsaken him. And not just forsaken him, that wasn't what broke Paul's heart. Paul had many people turn on him, but what broke Paul's heart is Demas being a believer, being a child of God, his heart was turned to the world, and he said that he went back to Thessalonica and he gave himself to the world, having loved this present world. And that was a sad thing for Paul to have to write about a friend of his, Demas. So as we think about just having eternity's values in view, we live in the world, but we should always have the mindset that this is not my home. I'm just passing through. My home is laid up somewhere beyond the blue. My home is in heaven. And we have to kind of teach the younger people, and again, that's where our calling is as Christians. If some of us still raising children, we have the influence over grandchildren and such, that we try to help them to keep a mindset, keep a view on heaven. Because this world can distort people's views. I know of a young lady that right now, she has such a distorted view on life, and she is a Christian. But because she's not heeding the call of God, she's not walking with the Lord every day, following the Lord, she's got this wrong mindset. Her focus is on things here, on people that have done her wrong, and it's trying to somehow try to help her get back having the right mindset. Because again, we do live in a world where there can be people that misuse you, people that break your heart. But again, the mindset always has to be, you know what? My treasures are laid up in heaven. Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If I put all my stock, if I put all my value in earthly things, I'm not going to have nothing. It's just going to be wasted. When Jesus says, follow me, it's just not with our feet. It's with our heart. It's with our mind. It's with our life. And like we even sang the song, though I fall, he'll lift me up. You know, there's times in life where we fall, yet the Lord's there to lift us up because he has a purposeful calling in our life. Now, before Jesus called Peter, Peter was a commercial fisherman. The fish he was gathering in nets from the Sea of Galilee were necessary to provide the food and income for his family, but these were obviously temporal. On the other hand, the fruit of fishing for men would truly last for eternity because lives would be changed. The prophet Jonah, remember Jonah? Jonah needed a similar reminder of what was really important. In Jonah chapter 4, God gave him a gourd as shelter from the beating sun. Remember, this is after he had spent 3 days and three nights in a whale's belly. Then God gives him that second chance. All right, go to Nineveh. He goes to Nineveh. He preaches the message of God. He goes and sits up on a hillside waiting for the destruction of Nineveh. But God wasn't going to destroy Nineveh because the hearts of the people would turn to the Lord. But and God made this gourd to shelter him from the heat. And when God sent a worm to wither the gourd, Jonah was angry. He was angry at the worm. He was angry at the gourd. And Jonah's own comfort was more important to him than listening to the voice of God. And what we learn from the life of Jonah, our comforts in life should not be more important than hearing the voice of God, being guided by God, and even being comforted by God. Now, We see the guiltiness of Jonah. I mean, he was guilty of the attitude that he had towards the Ninevites. He loved the blessing of God in his life, and he didn't see why the Ninevites should have that same blessing because of who they were. But God had to teach Jonah a very important lesson, and some may even ask, well, how do we know that Jonah learned it? Because Jonah is the author of the book of Jonah. If you don't learn a lesson, you're not going to write a book that details what you did against God. All right? So he humbly wrote that book to detail that God had taught him a valuable lesson that God does. God has a calling upon our life. God does want to show himself mighty in our life, and at the same time, he wants us to share that wonderful news with others that we have received so joyfully. Now, like Jesus' call on Peter's life, you and I have a calling on our lives, and the special purpose of God is never about us, although it does benefit us, but it's always about Jesus and making him known. Just like Peter, the calling requires something of us, and we'll look at that next week. All right, so again, just starting off, just talking about the beginning of our discipleship with Christ. It starts with following, and that's an everyday occurrence, not just a one-time occurrence, but every day the Lord wants us to follow him, because every day he's got something he wants to do in our life, some lesson he wants us to learn, some test he wants us to pass, because he is the one that gives us the victory, because he's won the victory, and we have faith that gives us the victory over the things of this world. So, Father, we do thank you for the wonderful truths of your word, and thank you, Father, for the lessons that we will learn. And, Father, I ask that you would help us, Lord, every week just to to be prepared, Lord, to hear from heaven and to seek you for your guidance through these lessons. Pray, Father, that you would even help us to continue to grow in our walk with you. Help our ears to become more keen in hearing your voice. And I pray, Father, that we would every day heed the calling to walk with you. Father, just thinking about Adam, Lord, you came down in the cool of the day to walk with Adam. And when Adam sinned against you, you came looking for him. And I believe, Father, it's plain to see in the scriptures, you came looking to give him an opportunity, Lord, to receive grace in his life. But, Father, you did cover his sin. You did, Lord, make that first sacrifice. Father, we ask that you would continue to guide us throughout this morning, for it's in Christ's name we pray. Amen. All right, we got about